Hello, my name is Salma, and welcome to Culture Clash, where we talk about what it means to be a Christian today. This podcast is brought to you by Kaleidoscope, where we aim to know the word, live the word, and spread the word by using our various gifts and talents. Check us out on kaleidoscopegh.org and kaleidoscopegh across all channels. So in our first episode today, we'll be talking about how to argue, debate, convert, and talk with each other, whether face-to-face or on social media. Joining me today are Emmanuel. Say hi.
Hi.
And Stephen. The first question I'd like to throw to you guys is, how does communication look like in our modern day?
Communication takes on various forms. So there's an age-old conversation one person talks to another. So it depends on what forms you're talking about. If it's just the mediums, there's the, obviously the digital platforms and so on, and conversations that we have. Also, people communicate in various ways on their handles on all the social networks. We have picture formats, we have, you know, short messages and so on and so forth. I don't know if Steven has anything to add.
Oh yeah, that's basically in our modern day, we sort of have in-person conversations and communications through all sort of digital platforms. And what is interesting is that it looks as if more and more people are communicating more over things like WhatsApp and Twitter and Facebook than they are actually communicating face-to-face. The face-to-face sort of happens like at work, at school and so on, but generally it seems as if more and more people are, their primary means of communicating with one another seems to be drifting towards more of the social media channels.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if this was part of your question, but what I've realized is, I don't know if it was any different in the past, is that people communicate, particularly on social media, to make a point and not to discuss an issue. And so the main issue is that I've taken my position and I want to make a point. And recently, I don't know if you've noticed, but you get people saying, if anybody disagrees with what I'll say, I will unfriend you or I'll
unfollow you.
And so even though we are saying communication happens over social media, it's actually really not communication. It is more a group of people shouting out what they want to say. And now, like I said, there's a little statement at the end, I will unfriend anybody who disagrees with me or anything like that. And so in terms of outside the medium in which we communicate, the very essence of communication is changing a bit, because we now have very staunch positions and people shouting at each other and very little interaction. And so it isn't really communication anymore. It is words.
So if part of communication is an exchange of ideas and the ability to be able to discuss and to sort of talk about things, exchange ideas and talk about things, and it seems as if more and more we are drifting towards an overall culture where we no longer want to exchange ideas, rather we want to put forth our idea, and either you accept what I'm saying or I'm not going to listen to anything that you're going to say, which becomes not the best way, because what happens is that we become more grounded in our own beliefs and we are not willing to sort of challenge some of the things that we have in our minds, which might not always be true, but because we believe it, we insist upon it, and we are not open to the fact that some of the things that we believe might be wrong or might be slightly flawed in the way in which we think about them. And so the exchange of ideas part, I think it still happens when we speak face-to-face, because I think that is probably one of the best means in which we can exchange ideas. But whenever we go to any sort of digital platform where we have the anonymity to hide behind and we are not able to see each other, people become more emboldened. And because of that, there's not a willingness to sort of share ideas. And the problem is that in our society, if we are not willing to share ideas, we are not able to grow, because we are not able to know when something we are doing is wrong and we have to correct our thinking in order to move forward.
Okay. In all these ways you've described of communication, what are some of the worrying things about them? I think you've already mentioned them quite a bit in what
yes.
you've said.
Uh, I mean, I think we handled that when we were speaking about the worrying things, is that I think there's a misunderstanding on how to engage somebody. And so we argue to win the argument. And there's a difference, someone told me, there's a difference between persuasion and winning an argument. And so you can have someone disagree with you on a position, for example, is the earth flat or is the earth round? And you can spend a long time calling the person not very smart, and the person will keep quiet. You have won the argument. And usually that's how we understand as winning the argument. But you have not persuaded the person. And so before you go into any conversation, the question is, do you want to persuade the person or do you want to beat the person into submission? Or I call it barbershop type of argument. If you go into a barbershop and there's an argument, usually the majority will win, not because they are right, but because they are loud and they'll shout out their position. And so eventually you keep quiet because, well, nobody's listening to you anymore. And you've lost the argument. And so when that happens, there's no longer an exchange of ideas. And the idea of having an argument or a debate where at the end of the day we mutually understand each other but we still disagree doesn't seem to exist anymore. You know, it's, you know, I understand what you're saying. I understand your position better, but I disagree with you. And those are, I think, more and more the trends that are becoming the problem.
Yeah. So it looks like disagreement has become to disagree means I'm in conflict with someone. That's what it looks like. Yes. Meanwhile, it's quite possible for two people to have a disagreement over a particular issue and still remain friends.
I think it's more than just if you disagree, you're in conflict. Right now, the belief is that if you disagree, you cannot have anything to do with... They're not just... You can be in conflict and still kind of be friends. You know that's weird friend who thinks these weird things. That's fine. But you cannot have anything to do with anybody who thinks of a different idea than yours. It's just not... Right now, technically, it's not possible. So then you end up creating a little echo chamber for yourself digitally and physically, because right now, your digital friends determine who your physical friends are. Whether you... Like, a lot of friends I've made over social media more than I have in JSS to now combined. You get it? So now, it's... So you can live your whole life. It's possible in this day and age to live your whole life and not see somebody completely who disagrees with you. Unless you're black, then... It's a bit different. But yeah, you can live in an echo chamber for the rest of your life and not have to think, because it's not just in conflict, it's a whole other...
Yeah, and what is interesting is that I think, I mentioned it before, anonymity sort of gives us strength. And that is what seems to have happened. I watched this funny thing on, funny enough, social media, Twitter, where this guy, they went over to someone's shop, the guy had insulted another guy on Twitter, and they went to their shop. And it was like, okay, you said that you can take me on any time of the day. So here I am. Let's do this. Let's go outside. Now I come see the guy behind the counter begging for his life. He was like, please, I was not being serious. Now that the threat had been taken of the digital sphere into real life, he was now sort of worried, because he was like, yeah, I can't really back the words that I'm saying. And it looks as anonymity have given a lot of people a lot of strength. And because of that, their worst traits come up. They are much more harsher than they would have been if it was actually in real life. And so I think one of the biggest, like we've mentioned, one of the biggest worrying things about how we communicate now is that we are less tolerant. And I think it started around when we started redefining what tolerance meant. We are less tolerant of people with differing views. And because of that, we are, as you mentioned, if someone is saying something different than I am saying, then I don't want anything to do with that person. I'm going to get the people who believe the same thing that I do in order to shout at that person. And something worse has actually happened. If now someone says something against the group that you are part of, what happens is that instead of actually listening to what the person is saying, we all take an entrenched position that the person is attacking us. Therefore, we must defend our. For lack of a better term, our tribe or our collective. So I've seen it with Christians on Twitter. Something happens, a Christian does something which is obviously wrong. Then all Christians come and defend that person, because they are like, we are Christians, we need to defend our Christian brother or sister, even though there are times when the person has actually done something wrong, and the best thing to do is that, okay, this is wrong, the person needs to be corrected. We just defend because you are either with us or you are against us, and there's no sort of discourse around the best way to move forward.
Okay, so now that we've explored all the ways we communicate and the things that worry us about that kind of communication, what does the Bible have to say about the way we should communicate and converse and argue with each other?
I think the Bible has a lot to say about that, and you can start from Proverbs, where he says, you know, do not be quick to respond. And so a lot of thought must be used in our words. For me, a rule of thumb is Colossians 4:6. Let your words be gracious. Let your speech always be gracious and seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. And for me, the key one is let your words be gracious and let your word be salted. Now, if you think of it in that way, then the question is, everything that comes out of your mouth, you want to find out whether it is gracious and whether it is seasoned. And between those two, it's a very tight rope to run. And every other verse I see actually contributes to that. In other words, what is coming out of your mouth must be to the building of the individual that you're speaking to. And when I say building, it doesn't mean you encourage everything, but it must be to build a person towards Christ. And for me, that is like a very key rule of thumb. And then everything else plays underneath that.
Yeah, and also there's this verse in Titus, and that is talking to younger men. In recent times, that it seems to be not self-controlled is a good thing, right? People who are able to speak their mind is what is sort of celebrated. If you are a maverick, the lone cowboy who is able to say what he can say and doesn't care about what anybody thinks about what they can say, it is almost seen as a virtue, right? But in Titus, we are told that, and he speaks especially to the younger men. He says, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching, show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned. And it's interesting that he talks about how the way in which we speak to each other should not be something that anyone can come and say, what you are saying is wrong. It goes on to say that, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Because we do not realize that in the way in which we speak, we are showing who we are as people, right, and what we believe. So if we say that we are Christian and we speak in a particular way, we are basically telling people that is how you should look at me. I say that is how Christians are supposed to speak, if you get what I'm saying. And so you sort of misrepresent Christ in the way in which you speak, if you speak in a manner that brings disrepute to not only yourself but to the person that you claim to be serving. And I think that is that's something very important, that we need to learn that the Bible tells us that we should be self-controlled, and that the things that we are sound in our speech, because we want the opportunity that no one should be able to say anything negative about what we are saying. Yeah. And if no one can say anything negative about what we are saying, then we have a better foot at actually proclaiming Christ more. It has actually been my disappointment in recent years that the most sort of meanest things I've seen on Twitter has been in Christian circles. Okay. I follow a lot of Christian theologians and professors, and some of the meanest things I've seen on Twitter has not been from people who are supposedly in the world. They have been from Christians who are supposedly defending the faith. And in defending the faith, I've seen them be racist, I've seen them be sexist, I've seen them insult people. There was a younger guy who just plain out called an older Christian minister who has been in the ministry for over 40 years, he called him stupid. Right. And when people came up to ask him to, that is not how you should speak to someone who's elderly, he went on the backlash attacking everybody else. And his father now came in and defended him on that. It was a whole terrible thing. Right. And so in all of that, anyone who was looking outside at that would have said that, are these people who are supposed to be ambassadors of Christ? Are these the people who are supposed to be people who love God and who love their neighbor? And I think sort of we sort of lose sight of that one when we sort of band with our own collective and we go on attacking someone because of a disagreement. And that was what the argument was about. It was about a disagreement.
I think, so what has been said earlier about issues of being in a clique or in a band and having to defend them, what happens is there's a defensive mechanism, and so we don't listen. And so you were saying, I think an earlier question, what are the problems with interactions that we have in culture? And I think the biggest issue is that we don't listen to each other. And so what the Bible actually tells us to do is to, once again, I'm going to go back to Colossians 4:6, let your speech be seasoned. Your speech cannot be seasoned if you do not hear what the other person is saying. We should be gracious in our conversations. And how can you do that when you do not know the person you're speaking to? The biggest problem I think we have is that we have stopped listening. We have picked up positions. And sometimes we even have trigger words. We don't even know what the trigger words mean. And so once someone uses word A and word B, we go into attack mode. And an example is having a group lunch and one person says, I'm a vegan. And almost immediately, including myself, everyone immediately starts questioning the person. So he was not even vegan, he was vegetarian. And there are various reasons why one person would be vegetarian, religious, and there are even biological reasons, medical reasons. You don't stop to ask, what is the issue? But you've already drawn an image of a vegan who looks down on anybody who doesn't eat, who thinks you're all evil, and then you immediately go on the attack. So even before the person opens the mouth, the person has been shut down. You cannot be gracious. Your words cannot be seasoned if you don't listen to the other person. A good rule of thumb I've heard is that listen to the person to the point that you can state his argument exactly the way the person wants his argument to be stated. And then you can say, if this is what this is, then I disagree with this part of the argument. So in that case, when you're not speaking to what he believes in or what he's saying, he understands that, oh, you understand me, but you disagree with my position. At which point, it is good.
Now, okay, so now what are some of the guidelines that can help us be gracious in what we say and in what we write?
I mean, so I started by saying, listen to the other person. Mm. It's okay to disagree with somebody. And in fact, what I think we forget more often as Christians is that the way in which we are going to get to speak the gospel to somebody is through conversation. And it's, I mean, how many times have we gone on witnessing and then you approach people and it has become so much that it has no effect anymore? How many persons here have not been approached by someone that I want to speak to you about the word of God? And what do you do? Even though you're a Christian, more often than not, you find a reason to escape it because it happens to everybody. The person you are most likely to have an impact on is the person you work with. And the way you have an impact on him is to listen to him. And so one is listening. Take interest in what he has to say. You know. And even if you disagree with him, you say, I understand this is what you said. Is that what you've said? The person says yes. Don't try and make his argument look stupid. Just try to understand. If this is what you hold, then this is what I disagree with. And that is a very good rule of thumb. You're most likely, even if you disagree, to at least win his respect. He knows this guy listens to me. Even if he doesn't do that, you know that you've done what you need to do.
One more thing that we can do is that I think we need to learn how to disengage from conversations and from arguments that are not helpful. Because, and I realize I used to do that a lot when I was a few years back, when I used to get into a lot of arguments on Facebook. And then I realized that at a point, it is no longer an edifying discussion. At a point, it's just two people just writing their opinions on, and there's no listening going on. And so I've learned that a lot of the time, if there's a need to sort of talk further, it is better to either take the conversation offline or to a personal basis on the person that you are speaking with, or just disengage completely from the conversation and know and have the wisdom to know when to do that and not to keep on going, because it now becomes a rotating cycle of you said this, I said this, you said this, I said this, with no one actually learning anything from the other person. And I think that actually requires a lot of wisdom, because you need to know when someone genuinely wants to learn something and when someone is just being argumentative for the sake of being argumentative. And more people are just trolling for the sake of trolling, and not because they actually want to learn, and not because they actually want to get new information. And you need to learn when to not participate in that, because I don't think it is helpful for either yourself or for the person who is doing it.
I think Proverbs puts it much better. It says, do not answer a fool with his own folly. And a few verses down, it says, answer a fool with his folly.
That's mean.
Okay, so the fool part is a bit mean, but in other words, know when to respond and when not to respond. And I think Proverbs puts it better. One way I think about now is do not shut down conversations. And so one of the things every Christian has faced is growing up as a Christian, certain questions pop up about your faith. And when you begin to go and ask, they shut you down quickly. It's actually very liberating. And that's one thing we don't do, to say, I've not thought about this. It's an interesting point. It's a curious point. Let me go find out about it. Or, I don't know the answer to your question, because it hasn't been something that has bothered me. Yes, obviously, some people would intentionally ask you a question to try and trap you. In that case, you can disengage. But if the person is genuinely wondering about something, you can look at it and go, I haven't thought about it. Give me some time. And then you can go back, come back and say, the question you asked, did you mean this? Did you mean that? Once again, it comes back to listening. And the Bible, Proverbs, once again, talks a lot about holding your tongue, being slow to speak. It doesn't mean you speak slowly. It means that before it comes out, you are thinking to yourself, the words that are coming out of my mouth, how are they gracious? Do they speak to the person's issue? We don't shut it down by bringing out all manner of spiritual things. And, this thing, you don't question it. Your job, I suggest, do it. And, this particular thing, you don't question it. It's better to say, I don't know it, or, I haven't thought about it. There was one more issue I thought about, and the issue had to... it had to do with... And I think I've lost my train of thought.
Okay, so there's one more thing that's quite important. I've come to realize that the way in which we speak to one another, when people start to refer to each other in a particular ways, I've become to realize the implication of that, because we need to know that we are each created in the image of God. And when we start to refer to each other in a particular way, especially in a very insulting, in a very abusive way, I think we are sort of denigrating a person who is created in the image of God. And if you look through history, a lot of the time, I think Emmanuel has mentioned this before, a lot of the time when people start to treat other people as if they are not human, what happens is that they start to insult them and start to use words about them which insults who they are as people, right? And we have to be careful that we don't do that with our language and our speech. We are each people created in the image of God, and because of that we have value, and because of that we have worth. And so when I'm speaking to someone, even if the person is someone I completely disagree with, and the person is living a lifestyle that I think is completely wrong and God does not look well upon, he is still created in the image of God. Therefore, I need to treat the person with grace. I need to treat the person as someone who is a fellow human being, as someone who has value and someone who has worth. And that should influence the way in which I speak to the person, right? And it's quite disheartening, especially in Ghana, when we talk about certain groups of people, right? When we are talking about, let me use this example, when I talk about homosexuals and the lesbian community in Ghana, some of the words that Christians use, I feel as if it is not words that people who claim to be following God should be using about their fellow human being, no matter how much we disagree with their lifestyle and how they live. Because in doing that, first of all, the person is not going to be happy about the language that you are using with them, and therefore they are least likely to actually listen to anything that you are going to say. And so I think that one should influence us. And we always forget that God tells us that we should love our neighbor. And I think loving our neighbor has much to say with how we should speak and how we should treat one another. Yeah. I think you had some stuff to say about that.
Yes. The thing, okay, so what he's talking about is, for most of, particularly the epistles, Paul's epistles, he starts by laying out what the gospel is. Then there's a swing where he goes, therefore, this is what you do. So the part makes us different from other people is that we have values. And it's our values that dictate how we behave to people. It's not who the people are that dictates what we do. In other words, because Christ has treated us the way we did not deserve, we treat other people the same way Christ has treated us. If he disagrees with me, I still treat him with love and respect, but I still disagree with him. It does not mean that I agree to what you're saying. I still tell you, I love you, I respect you, but I disagree with you. You don't believe there is a God that exists? I do. I think you are wrong. We can say that we can talk about the reasons why we've come to different conclusions, but that is the case. And when we do that, that is how we exhibit the gospel. There are many of us, we can't, anytime they say we want to people to go and speak to people or we want to go on witnessing, we will never go to our own homes to go and witness, and we'll never go to our own workplace to go and witness, because we know we won't get anybody. And the reason we won't get anybody is because they know us. They know what comes out of our mouth. And I want to connect it to a second point. We've only been speaking about conversations and debates, but the words that also come out of our mouths include slander, include gossip, all these things which are against the word of God. We are not supposed to be doing that. A good rule of thumb, and something I have learned, is how do you make sure that you are not slipping into gossip or into slander? How we decide that is simply this. If you say something to somebody and you cannot say it, if I'm talking about Stephen to you and I can't say it in front of Stephen, then there's something wrong with what I'm saying. Make sense? And if there's something I say to Stephen but I can't say it when Stephen is not in the room, then I'm most probably just lying. I'm propping up his ego. And so the question you ask yourself is, what I'm saying about A, can I say it in front of him? And so if you live with the people around you and they see you doing all manner of gossip, all manner of lies, all manner of this, obviously you can't go to him and say, I want to speak to you about the word of God. It's because you've already laid your groundworks. And in fact, if the words that come out of your mouth are seasoned and are gracious, you wouldn't even need to go to someone to say, I want to speak to you about the word of God. The person might come and ask, I have seen that you do this. Why? The person would open up the way for you to speak the word. You don't need a day of witnessing to carry Bible and go around and say, today I'm come to speak the word of God to you. And so it should reflect in everything that we do. I think because we've used only positive words, someone might think that because you are a Christian, you cannot speak the truth to somebody. You cannot use negative words. In other words, you can't see someone doing something wrong. So I talked about gossip. So you see somebody doing something wrong, you should go up to them and you should, for lack of a better word, rebuke them. Not rebuke them, but correct them. But instead, you go behind them and then what you do is, you tell somebody, Charlie, do you see what that guy was doing? He's so stupid. That doesn't work either. And I'll tell you an experience I had. I was a music director for a group. And a lady was singing, and she basically butchered the song. And I was playing the keyboard, and she came up to me, and she's older than I was, and she was like, so how did the song go? And I was like, oh, yeah, Charlie, the song went really well. The song was really cool. And when she went, I thought to myself, my word. Not knowing, luckily she had someone who was more Christian than I was at the time at home, and the person was like, man, you butchered the song. So the next Sunday she came and she was like, Brahima, can I speak to you? You know, when someone beckons you, you know you're in trouble. You know, you know you're in trouble. So I go there, and then she goes, last week, when I finished singing, you said I sang well. But the people at home said, I didn't do this. The whole song was bad. Why did you do that to me? And I felt so bad. And the reason I did that was because I don't want to offend you. And she taught me a really brilliant lesson. I would rather call you, and music directors, it's better you do this during rehearsal and say, look, you are going off key. Because then you are correcting the person. Rather than waiting for the person to go and say, Charlie, the guy's son, Papa. And all that, people begin to test your word. I think there's in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, let your yes be yes and let your no be no. People usually apply it to in swear situations where don't swear. And his point is that if your word is truthful, then you wouldn't have to distinguish between your bad words and your good words. If your words are truthful always, when someone does something wrong, you can call the person. I'm not saying bash the person in and speak to the person as graciously. Remember, your words are seasoned and your words are gracious. So even though the person has done something wrong, you are trying to correct the person. The person might rubbish what you're saying, but you have done your best and you've done what is expected of you, and that is it.
Yeah, and the one last thing is that sometimes we behave as if we are the ultimate arbiter of all knowledge. As in, we there's nothing that we are saying that is wrong. And because of that, we are very slow to listen to what other people have to say. I think one interesting thing about the book of Proverbs was that part of it was not written by an Israelite. It was not written by an Israelite. There's the sayings of King Agar also,
yeah,
getting to the latter part of Proverbs. God has given wisdom to everyone. Just as rain falls on the wicked and rain falls on the good, wisdom is also bestowed on people who are Christian and people who are not Christian.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm saying this because sometimes, because we don't listen well, when we are in the wrong, and when we are doing something that is not right, and someone comes and challenges our views, right? Sometimes we are too quick to defend and we don't listen carefully enough to know when we should actually change what we are doing. And I think that in terms of communication being an exchange of ideas, right? If you are not open to the fact that some of your ideas needs to be corrected first and foremost by the word of God and by your Christian brothers and sisters around you, if you are not open to the to being corrected, what will happen is that you will not be, you will not grow and you will not mature. And the danger that has been happening in recent times is that people find people who think exactly like them, right? And because of that, they refuse to change because they find people who are in the same error as them and they all sit in that error and they are very happy about it, right? Meanwhile, we have to first and foremost listen to what people have to say, especially when they have things to say that might not be necessarily flattering about us. And I say this also for the whole Christian community. In more often than not, I see a lot of Christians, especially when certain issues come up in public, I see a lot of Christians rushing to defend themselves as Christian because I think we feel that if we don't defend, then they will come in. I don't know, Christianity will fall apart. And so on. But there was an interesting saying. Someone said, defend Christianity, you would rather defend a lion. God doesn't need you to defend his gospel. God is defending his own gospel. And God is faithful. And God is the one who is able to hold his church.
Yeah.
Not any individual. Not any single person. So if someone is in error within our Christian community, and we point out that error, or if there's something wrong happening within our Christian community, and we point out that error, that is not diminishing the gospel. That is actually enriching the gospel because the gospel empowers us to actually speak the truth. Right? There are certain places in the world right now where there are sexual abuse scandals happening within the church. And in some cases, people are trying to protect the
institutions
rather than trying to say that this has happened and it is wrong and we need to talk about it. Because we feel as if we protect, right, then we are rather defending the gospel. Right, but that's like I said, God is faithful. God will defend his own gospel. And so in our communication, we need to be aware of certain times when we are actually being corrected. And we need to actually listen to when we are actually in error, especially when we let the word of God show us what is right and also our other Christian brothers and sisters around us.
I think, let me summarize what you've said. God needs us to be faithful. He doesn't need us to be defensive. He needs us to be faithful to the word and only the word.
Okay, so after this lengthy, interesting conversation, we've come to the end of the pilot episode of Culture Clash. Yeah. So, any final words before?
As Christians, we are visitors. We are told that several times. This is not our home. But at the same time, we cannot isolate ourselves in a small room and decide that we are here. We are here to interact with the culture. And it is in interacting with the culture that we are able to exhibit the light of Christ. And so we should realize that every time we are speaking to somebody, it is Christ we are glorifying. And so our actions either glorifies Christ or condemns him. And that is what we are here to do. To find out better ways of glorifying Christ in every single aspect of our lives, from our tongue to our feet, from our ears to our eyes to our fingertips. And so as Christians, that should always be what we are looking at. We are here to interact with the culture. We are here to make the light of Christ shine bright. Peace out.
And on that summary, thank you for joining us on Culture Clash. Have a good day and God bless.